Hello, listeners, and welcome back to our 20th edition of the Built on the Border podcast. We're coming at you with a Sunday edition of the Built on the Border podcast this week because there is some very pressing Royals news we need to address. And to address that news, I'm joined with me in the new location for the Built on the Border podcast. We relocated to the other side of the border, over to the Kansas side, where I'm now residing. And I'm joined in studio with my good friend, no longer roommate, Mr. Tommy Watson, to discuss the Cueto trade. Tommy, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm excited to see our new studio, which oddly enough is still a dining room.
Still a dining room. It's the most conducive environment for this podcast.
It's a little nicer, and I think it's a little less echoey, so.
It's probably a little less echoey, probably better acoustics in here. Much more free-flowing house that we have here, over here on the Kansas side. But let's just jump right into it. Last night, we kind of got a little teaser taste of what may be the future of the Royals' rotation, and we found out the deal for Cueto fell through last night. So walk me through the last kind of 24 hours, hearing about the Cueto deal, then seeing that apparently it was Manea that did not pass the physical, he was going to be a part of that deal, and then the deal eventually getting completed just this afternoon. Why don't you walk me through these last 24 hours?
Well, so watching the game last night, you know, I follow Twitter as I'm watching the games a lot too. You see a tweet from Ken Rosenthal that said that Royals had a deal in place with the Reds for Johnny Cueto, but it had fallen through, which instantly makes you feel, I don't know, like upset or something, because just to know that we were right there and that it didn't happen. But
missed
then,
opportunity.
Missed opportunity, exactly.
Because a lot can change in 24 hours. And, you know, the Blue Jays and the Astros were both actively trying to make a deal to bring Cueto into their organization, and then of course we found out today the news.
Yeah, I mean, which it turned out to be okay, because over the next hours there was more information came out. We found out it was a medical issue that had kept one of our players from going to Cincinnati, which they said is not really. It happens a lot with trades, and it doesn't mean the end of a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we woke up this morning to a more formed version of the trade that was getting ready to take place and become official. And I think it became official maybe 20 minutes into the Royals game today?
Yeah.
About 1:30?
We had an idea around 11 o'clock today that the trade was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They just had to, you know, pending the remaining physicals that had to take place. And then around about 1:30, 1:45 is when the deal was finally confirmed. So the Royals are sending three left-handed pitchers to the Reds. We're sending, of course, Brandon Finnegan, which we'll talk about in a minute. We're sending second-round draft pick. He's currently in Northwest Arkansas right now in Double A, and he's in, I think, about seven or eight starts. He's got about a 3.4 ERA. Five starts, 3.45 ERA in Northwest Arkansas. So when you think about the potential that Cueto has, what he can add to this rotation, it doesn't seem like we really had to give up too much to bring in a guy who's proven himself as one of the best pitchers in baseball. He finished second last year in the Cy Young voting. This year, he's pitched very well for the Reds, but hasn't gotten the run support. He's 7-6 with a sub 2.36 ERA. So we're getting a guy that immediately makes this team a World Series contender. Not that we weren't already before. Why don't you talk a little bit about what Cueto is going to mean to this rotation and to this ball club?
So what I think that does for us in the postseason, I think it gives us a different mindset. Because I think last year, it felt more like fate and momentum. Everything was, those two things were just working for us. Like especially when we got into the middle of the divisional series, you just expected us to win because everything was just going our way.
Right.
And you get into the American League Championship Series, everything's just going our way. And now I feel like Cueto gives us that. If we were to make it into a divisional one of the league championship series or the World Series, if we were to lose back to back games or go on some kind of losing streak, which we only lost back to back games in the postseason once last year,
right,
essentially what lost cost us the World Series, he could be the stopper.
He can come in there and he can be the guy that gets us a game back, that gets us back into contention. I see what you're trying to say there. So I agree. I think from an organizational standpoint, we were already starting to have this attitude in a way that this year is the year. We're going to do whatever it takes, and that includes sending Yordano Ventura down to AAA. Unfortunately, due to the injury of Jason Vargas, we had to bring him back up right away, and he made a start today. An excellent start. We'll touch on that in a little bit. But bringing in a guy like Johnny Cueto means that this organization not only is set with the players that we currently have on our roster and expecting excellence from them, they want to go out and get excellent players to add to that already stellar nucleus that we have here. And I think the kind of winning attitude that the Royals have started to develop now over the last three seasons will be incentive to keep him here within this organization and try and lock him down long term. I don't think this is a trade that you make with the expectation that he's on loan and he's on rental. I think this is a guy that we might try and ink for, you know, three or four more years down the road. I think that this is a great move in bolstering our, not just our rotation, but our attitude and our intensity going into the second half of the season. This is really the dog. These are really the dog days of the season, where the true test of a team's grit and their intensity is going to be shown through the end of July into the middle of August, when you're starting to start playing important baseball games to give yourself that cushion in the American League Central, which we have. We currently have, I believe, an 8-game lead over the Twins.
7.5.
Sorry, 7.5 game lead over the Twins now after their loss today to the Yankees. So this midseason move is a big power move, because it wasn't like that we needed any power shifted our way in the division, but it's almost like the knockout punch that we needed to take ourselves into the American League Divisional Series coming up in September. I think this is a really, October. This is a really important move for this ball club, not only to send a message to their players and their fans, but to the rest of the American League and Major League Baseball, that this team is not a flash in the pan. And we've proved that through the first, 90-some-odd games this season. This team is here to stay, and they're here to make a run of the World Series, which we came very close to winning last year.
Yeah, I really like what it says. And you know what? I think what I'm most excited for is our playoff rotation now would be a combination of Cueto, Volquez, Duffy,
and Ventura, which can right the ship.
And Duffy and Ventura are the only ones you'd be a little worried about, but they're also very capable of shutting teams down and throwing gems. And I guess the best part's going to be, if we end up in a critical game, we're not going to have to pitch, you know, Jeremy Guthrie like we did in Game 7 of the World Series. Jeremy's a good pitcher, and he gave us a good performance that game, but he's a number 5 starter.
Right, and he's a number 5 starter in any rotation. He's not a world beater. Now, the Jason Vargas injury does hurt, because he's one of those guys that can give you one of those games where you need kind of as a stopgap, and you know, you've thrown your entire rotation, or you need to get deep in the bullpen. He's a guy that can pick up some innings if a starter has a rough start. So that's going to hurt a little bit, but I think we have now one of the best four-man rotations if we were to enter the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, we'd possess one of the best four-man rotations in baseball.
Based
on recent performance and their body of work this season. Duffy and Ventura have both had great starts. At least Ventura had one great one today, and Duffy in his last two have pitched some really good games. This is actually probably today Ventura's 7-inning, 1-run effort was probably his second best start, regular season start in his career. I mean, just because he pitched so well. So I was really impressed with what we saw from Ventura on the mound today. Now, pitching aside, you know, what do you see? Do you feel like there's any glaring, you know, gaps in this batting order or in our lineup? Because right now you've got guys like Rios, Jerod Dyson, Paul Orlando in that outfield, just kind of filling all these spots and keeping this team essentially afloat, because they're the guys that have really been delivering during this stretch we've had over the last 2 weeks since Gordon went down with injury.
No, actually, I really don't. It'll be great when we get Gordon back, hopefully in September, August.
Yeah.
But, you know, over the last month, Rios has picked up the slack. He's batting over .400 for the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that leaves Dyson and Orlando have been doing a great job filling the left field spot, or, you know, whatever outfield positions we need filled, depending on what our lineup is for the day. So.
Yeah, and I've also been very impressed with Chesler Cuthbert, the rookie that we've had called up. He's come in with some great clutch hitting. He's driving in runs. He's getting on base. He's making plays defensively. And that gives us a utility guy that we can count on potentially in the playoffs as well. Cologne was sent back down to AAA, and there's questions of whether or not he'll make an appearance back in the Major League roster again this season. But even if he doesn't, we know we have Chesler Cuthbert, who can really play three of those four, he can play third, short, or second. And that's really crucial when you want to give guys like Escobar and Moose rest towards the end of the season. So I really think we're set almost across the board. And let's talk a little bit about how well Lorenzo Cain has been playing since the All-Star break. He's already kind of in the MVP conversation going into the All-Star break, but since the All-Star break, he's been on a tear. He's homered in his last three games. He has just been playing fantastic baseball. He's anchoring that outfield. And, you know, Lorenzo Cain, I think, could really make a case for being the MVP this year. His wins above replacements, top five in the American League. And he's just playing outstanding baseball and really leading this club, kind of taking over that leadership role that we typically see Gordon do, at least from a play standpoint.
Yeah, so I guess what I think in my mind to see, if Lorenzo Cain were to be a MVP of the league, it'd be similar to the way the NBA shook out this season, with Steph Curry having a great season, mm-hmm. winning the MVP, but LeBron James still being like
the best player,
because Mike Trout is still out there. Mike Trout is probably still going to have better numbers,
right?
And the Angels are trending towards winning their division.
Right.
So I imagine they'll match up in the playoffs at some point, because the Angels are playing very well right now. Mm-hmm. We are also playing at a high level. So I think it might turn out that the MVP award may hinge on how those teams perform against each other in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whoever wins probably the MVP for that series, whichever round they would face each other.
Yeah. So a lot to be excited about. I don't want to talk about the Royals too much, just because we're on this streak right now and there's not a whole lot of negative things to focus on, but there's a lot of good to be focusing on right now. We took 2 out of 3 from the Pirates. We took 2 out of 3 from the Astros, who going into yesterday's game we had not beaten yet this season. It was a good statement against a team who probably could. I don't want to say anything for certain, but there's a good chance the Astros will be in the playoffs this year as well. So when we're beating talented, playoff-bound teams, that really speaks a lot, because honestly, going into last week, I would have said the Pirates are probably the best or second best team in the National League behind the Cardinals. They've been playing at a high level since May. They have the best record in Major League Baseball since May, and we took 2 out of 3 from them at home. I mean, we are really sending a message. We're sending a message before the Cueto trade that this team is for real, and this is going to be the year that we try and make that run for that World Series. And I wouldn't hate it if we went just swept through the playoffs. I mean, that'd be fantastic. We came pretty close to doing it last year, but this is a team that's really built for success, and I think is built for the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so moving away from the Royals, although I'd love to talk about them all show. Want to move into the start talking about the Chiefs. Chiefs opening camp, I believe next week. Training camp opens, so we'll start to get a taste of who the standouts are and who are the guys that are going to make the 53-man roster come the start of the season. That'll start taking shape over the next couple, about the next month or so. Just to kind of address a few Chiefs things, kind of some news items with the Chiefs before we get into our predictions for the regular season. One thing I wanted to address is that Jamaal Charles gave a very impassioned speech last night at the opening ceremony for the Special Olympic Games. You watched the speech just before the show, and I watched it this morning. I was very impressed by the speech from Jamaal Charles. What were your thoughts on seeing the words that he shared yesterday evening?
Well, I was very impressed. First of all, I didn't even know that he had participated in the Special Olympics before, and I found that very inspiring that he's able to show. He's the embodiment that if you put your best effort out there, you try your hardest, you can make it as far as you want.
Yeah.
He had, what, severe learning disabilities?
He has, I've never heard it classified specifically as a specific disorder, but he has severe difficulty with reading and writing. So he'll, like, you know, so I don't know if it's dyslexia or if it's much, I think it's more severe than that. That was my understanding. I only know this from Knee 60 they did on Jamaal Charles about 2 years ago. Talking about his learning disability and also his relationship to the Cassandra Perkins, Jovan Belcher situation. So as a kid, he struggled a lot, and he, you know, was in the special education classes, and he got the opportunity to compete in the Special Olympics and double medaled in his first events, his first set of events there. Went on to star at the University of Texas in both track and in football. Graduated with honors from the University of Texas,
probably the most impressive part.
Learning disability or not, that's really difficult to do. And I know I think it's really impressive just because he did something that was outside of his own comfort zone. I mean, he had to read off of a teleprompter up there. And that, and, you know, clearly having that disability, having to read words that are coming down a teleprompter and being able to deliver a speech like that with such poise and such class, it really made me proud to, you know, be a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. Made me really proud to have Jamaal Charles up there representing not the Chiefs, but representing what the Special Olympics is supposed to be and what it's supposed to be about. And then leading the crowd through the oath that they all share at the Special Olympics. It was a really cool moment. And it kind of showed a side of Jamaal Charles that fans aren't used to seeing, because he's not one of these players that's boisterous or out there or really in the public eye very often. He takes a much more reserved role in that sense. And to see him up there representing himself in the Special Olympics that way, I thought was really cool moment. And, you know, he was able to share his story with the fans, which I think anytime a player can do that, you know, it brings them closer and feel like they can connect with these players much, much more.
Yeah, I really loved it because I already thought of him as a good guy.
Right.
There's no reason not to, but now we know he's a pretty great guy.
Yeah, and, you know, the Special Olympics has had a positive influence on people in your life, correct? Your cousin Eric has participated.
Yes, my cousin has a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, just knowing how important it is to some of those athletes and to have an icon like him up there, I'm sure was really special.
Yeah.
So other Chiefs kind of popular culture news we can talk about is that Chiefs rookie Andrew East got down on one knee and proposed to Olympic gymnast, gold medalist, former Dancing with the Stars champion Shawn Johnson at Wrigley Field, and is now engaged to the superstar gymnast. I just wanted to talk about it because from our point of view, a little disappointed that Shawn Johnson's off the market. I've always had a long-standing crush on her when she performed at the Olympics in Beijing in 2008. And kind of ever since then, we've kind of had a huge crush on Shawn Johnson. So, well, we're excited to welcome her into the Chiefs family, if not just temporarily, a little bit disappointed to see that she's off the market.
Yeah, but then again, it's another iconic sports person that we'll have a chance to possibly see around Kansas City.
That's true.
Now that Alex Morgan's husband's playing for Sporting KC, we've seen her once or twice.
Yeah, bright side of it. But going into the Chiefs, we want to talk about win-loss projections for the Chiefs. One, because I want to see how good of a chance I would have at winning my money on betting on the 9-7 win. 9.5 wins is what the Chiefs over-under is for next season. I'm going to Vegas on Friday, so I want to know kind of what our chances are. I figure we can kind of go through that and gauge where we think the Chiefs would be at win-loss-wise, breaking down each game of the season through all 17 weeks. We'll be brief on each game and indicate why we think the Chiefs will either win or lose that game, and then I'll give our projections on the division. So, go ahead and start with week one. The Chiefs open against the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are built a lot the same way the Chiefs are. Very strong defense, very talented running back. Little so-so at the quarterback position, although they're a little bit more unsure with Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett competing for that starting job in Houston. This will be the first game that the Chiefs are without Sean Smith, who was arrested for a DUI earlier this year, and the NFL levied a 3-game suspension for that transgression. So this is the first game without him, but the Texans don't really have a deep threat anymore. They don't have Andre Johnson. Their best returning wide receiver is DeAndre Hopkins. So not a huge vertical threat against the Chiefs, up against the Texans. I know what my pick is for this game in the first game, September 13th, against the Texans. Who you got in this matchup?
I'm going to go with Kansas City, although I'm wary of them coming out with first game jitters like they did last year. They hit that stinker against Tennessee.
You know, I think if this game was at Arrowhead, I'd say Chiefs victory, you know, right in the books. It'll be difficult to win at Reliance Stadium. Houston's got a great fan base. They usually have a good atmosphere there at the games. But I think that the Chiefs will pull it out. I'm going to say Chiefs win 20-16 in this match against the Texans. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a big battle, but I think Chiefs win. So I think we both consensus there. Chiefs win, so yep. Chiefs are at 1-0. Short week of preparation. We open at home against the Denver Broncos on September 17th. It's a Thursday night game. It's going to be the hot ticket item to watch that night. It's likely it's going to be Manning's last game at Arrowhead. But this is the Chiefs' chance to finally topple the Broncos, something they haven't been able to do in the last couple of seasons. I think it's going to be another dogfight, and I think the loss of Sean Smith will be significant for this game. We're going to be throwing Philip Gaines and rookie Marcus Peters probably out there at the starting cornerback position, and you know I think Manning will be hungry to try and throw on those two guys. But I think it's going to be coming out party for Marcus Peters. I think they're going to put Peters on Demaryius Thomas, test him early. And I think the Chiefs win this one. We'll say 27-21.
Okay, because, you know, originally before Sean Smith got suspended, I had this as a Chiefs win because Peyton Manning, as his career's gotten on, it seems like he starts to fade towards the end of the season. But this will be week two, so he'll be sharp, normal Peyton Manning, which scares me that it'll be Philip Gaines and a rookie, you know, way at the beginning of the season is our top corner. So I could see him torching us, but I could also see us sticking with them because I'm still not that super scared of their defense.
The biggest thing that I have is that I'm not super scared of their defense. Also, their offensive line is going to be one of the weaker offensive lines in the National Football League this year. I know that because they already lost Ryan Clady for the duration of the season, and that happened early. I think what we're going to expect is a lot of pressure early on Peyton Manning. He's going to get rattled, and it's going to open up the door for the Chiefs to steal this. Not to steal this one, but to send a message to the entire NFL that the Chiefs are for real this season. So I'm going to have I've got the Chiefs winning that matchup against the Broncos. Who do you have in this game?
You know, I still am going to stick with my original prediction that I think they're going to split their season series, but I'm actually going to give the Broncos this one because I think the Chiefs will pull together towards the end of the season when Peyton Manning starts to fade.
So I've got the Chiefs at 2-0, and you have the Chiefs at 1-1. So that's where we stand right now. So we have a long week to prepare, and then we'll go into our week three matchup against the defending NFC North champions, the team that was one fumble away from the Super Bowl this past season, the Green Bay Packers, in week three. And that game is going to be played
At Lambeau.
Yeah, at Lambeau. So it's the second straight primetime game. Chiefs will have – it'll be a Monday night game, so Chiefs will have 8 days – excuse me, not 8 days. They'll have almost 11 days to prepare for this matchup, which is huge for the Chiefs. Packers are probably going to be one of the better teams in the NFL this year. They'll face a little more competition from the Vikings for the NFC North, I believe. I think that this is going to be – this is where I think the Chiefs get their first loss because Lambeau is a crazy difficult place to win a football game. And on Monday night, it's going to be even louder. I don't see the Chiefs really having a shot here. I see this being kind of the first game where we see a lot of question marks raised from the defensive side of the football. It'll be the third week without Sean Smith, but you're really starting. I think you'll see Rodgers is much more equipped to pick apart those young and inexperienced corners than Peyton Manning would be. And I think this is where the Chiefs' lack of experience in secondary comes back to bite them in the ass. I think the Chiefs lose this one 35-14 to Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, you know, I think I'd go with something similar to that. I'm giving this one to the Packers because I don't like the fact that Sean Smith will be out again.
Yeah.
And also, this is up in Lambeau, and Aaron Rodgers is where Peyton and Tom Brady, their careers are fading, and they're going to start descending from top-tier quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is a top-tier quarterback,
and he's in
possibly
his prime.
The best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. So move on to the next week on the road again, Sunday, October 4th, against Cincinnati. Finally back into the groove of a noon Sunday game, which Chiefs fans, I think, are more comfortable with. I see this as an opportunity for the Chiefs to take advantage of a Cincinnati team that's been inconsistent over the last couple seasons. This is the first game back for Sean Smith, who I assume will be lined up across from A.J. Green. I think the Chiefs win this one. Cincinnati could win this game, but I see this as the Chiefs' first rebound win after the loss to Green Bay.
I agree. Since the way my season's flowed so far, I'm at 1-2. I see them actually winning this pretty handily. I'm going to go with a 2+ touchdown difference.
Okay.
I feel like they're probably going to just give what's his name?
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton just a really hard time.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have trouble.
Yeah. Next, we have the Bears at home. The Bears.
Bears.
This would be the first time back at home in almost the entire month of the first season. The Bears were a disappointment last year, to say the least. They had that hot start, were leading the NFC North, and then just completely fell apart at the end of the season. Now, they do have a little bit of a regime change with John Fox as the new head coach in Chicago. He's had success in both Carolina and in Denver, which we know all too well.
Unfortunately.
But I think we are better than the Bears on both sides of the ball in this matchup. We're younger. We're faster. We have a quarterback that doesn't make irrational decisions like Jay Cutler is known to do. I think the Chiefs – this is another game where the Chiefs win by a 2-touchdown margin. I see the Chiefs win this one 31-13.
Yeah, I think this will be another snoozer. I think they'll win this one pretty handily too.
All right, so on to the Vikings. Another game on the road. This is a tough game because the Vikings are markedly better than they were two seasons ago. Teddy Bridgewater now has another season under his belt at quarterback. They're traveling to Minnesota to play the Vikings. So as their record currently stands for me right now, I have them at 4-1. You have them at 3-2.
Yeah.
This will be, I think this is a make or break game, not a make or break game, but this will be a true defining moment, I think, in the Chiefs season if they're able to win against Minnesota at Minnesota. I do think that the Chiefs do win this game. They hold off Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson, and they'll win in a close one. I think it's a dogfight. I think the final score is 21-18 against the Vikings at home. Your pick.
I'm actually going to go with Minnesota with this one just because it's up there. I don't like one of the biggest weaknesses for the Chiefs last year was their run defense, which was because Derek Johnson and Mike DeVito both had early season-ending injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we may be a little overconfident and that at them coming back at full ability. And I think Adrian Peterson's a fantastic running back.
Yeah.
So I feel either him or Teddy Bridgewater is going to burn us. Someone's going to burn us, and it's not going to turn out well for us.
Okay. All right. Well, then, following week, we play the Steelers at home. And, you know, the Steelers are a team I feel like as a Kansas City fan, we don't have a lot of love for them. There's no love lost between us and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this, to be honest, the Steelers have kind of had our number over the past couple seasons in our matchups. The games are usually close. The last time the Chiefs defeated the Steelers was in 2009, and we weren't even a good team that year. I think both us and the Steelers identify as playoff contenders this season. I think they have more teams in their division that they're going to go toe-to-toe with, those being the Bengals and the Ravens, although both teams, I think, are a little bit worse than they were last season. This is a game that I would like to see the Chiefs win, but I don't see them winning. It's going to be their first loss at home of the season, and I've got us losing to the Steelers 27 to, let's say, 20.
I'm going to go ahead and say, actually, the Chiefs are going to win in a close one because I think our pass rusher is going to get to Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger is a hard quarterback to sack, but he's not particularly fast.
Mm.
And I feel like there are going to be some plays where we maybe not get a sack, but we get hands on him, force a bad throw, and I think our secondary takes advantage
okay.
of it.
So now I have the Chiefs at 5-2. You have the Chiefs at 4-3. Pretty respectable records through the
yeah.
first seven games of the season. A little more optimistic on my side. But you're probably a little more realistic on yours.
It's a tough start to the season.
Right.
It's on the road. We play some good teams.
Yeah, those are tough first seven games. Now we cross the pond. November 1st, Sunday, November 1st, against the Lions. The game will start at 8:30 in the morning. And I'm thinking, first of all, there needs to be some great festivities. I'm guessing at this house in the yard, maybe get the TV up on a screen outside and have a real day party to celebrate the Chiefs playing across the pond in London against the Lions. I think it's going to be a great game. And you know what? I don't want to talk about this game too much because I think the Lions are a worse team than they were last year. They had the second-best defense in the league last season, but their offense was ranked 19th in the league. I don't think their defense is going to be quite the same. They lost Ndamukong Suh. They lost Nick Fairley. Stafford's a good quarterback. Calvin Johnson's a good wide receiver. But I think the Chiefs handedly thrash the Lions in this matchup over in London. I think the Chiefs win 28-7.
Yeah, I agree. It's something similar. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Chiefs are currently undefeated in international games.
Oh, yes.
With a record of 0-0.
0-0.
So I think they keep that with a record of 1-0 when they
cross
the pond.
That would be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun for fans over in England to see them play. It's going to be fun for Chiefs fans who are getting to go to that game. I don't know anyone personally that is, but it would be a great experience to see them play
yeah.
over there.
And to give some support to the reasoning that the organization had on choosing that game, which some fans are not very happy
right,
with.
Right, because we're losing the home game.
It improves our brand.
Right. Well, now we move on to the following. We have the bye week in week 9. So the Chiefs are now, by my count, 6-2, and you have them at 5-3. We have a week 9 bye. We have a long time to prepare for our grudge match against the hated Denver Donkeys. The game is going to be at Denver, but we have that bye week to prepare after that long travel trip. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Chiefs, for the first time in the Peyton Manning era, beat the Broncos twice in the same season. So I think the Chiefs win this game in Denver. I think this is going to be a point where the age and the rust on Manning is really going to be starting to build up, and the Chiefs handle the Broncos pretty easily at home. That's my pick. What is your thoughts on this game?
I agree. I said earlier that I thought the Chiefs and Broncos would split the series, and I'm going to give this one to the Chiefs because I think at this point in the season, we're going to start to see that line that is not very good for the Broncos. It's going to start hurting them. Peyton Manning's going to be more worn down than he normally is because I think he's going to take some more sacks, even though, you know, we've seen in his career he's a very – he avoids sacks, but I think this line is going to be so bad,
thin,
that he's going to take more sacks that he's not used to.
Right. And who knows? He may have been taking so many licks already this season that Peyton Manning at this point in the year might already be banged up, might not even play in this game. That's obviously not what you hope for, but –
let's not get ahead of ourselves. I would love that, but I don't think that – let's assume he's playing.
Yeah, I think I think we can both agree it'll probably be a close game. The Chiefs win this one.
And also in favor of the Chiefs, Andy Reid is traditionally a very good coach coming out of the bye week.
Yeah, so that would shift the Chiefs record by my count 7-2, your count 7-2, Mike, your count 6-3.
6-3, yes.
So just still one loss separating them. Now, Sunday night, November 22nd, first matchup of the season against the Chargers. It's at San Diego, and I think this is going to be a week where the Chiefs really embrace kind of the new team that they have had formed. They've got a lot of confidence going to this game. They're a division opponent, but I would stretch a little and say that the Chargers might be as bad as the Raiders this season. And I think the Chiefs win this one pretty easily. On Sunday Night Football. Your thoughts on this matchup at San Diego, at San Diego?
You know, I'm not sure if it'll be easy, but I do think they're going to win. We wanted San Diego last year. I think we swept them last year. And the San Diego team is not any better this year, whereas the Chiefs are better. So
All right.
I'll give this one to the Chiefs.
So moving right along, we now have the Chiefs matchup against the Buffalo Bills. That will be at home against Buffalo. Buffalo is a better team this year, but they still don't have the quarterback position figured out. And I think it's going to take some time for them to figure that out, not just during training camp, but during the regular season. And I think that's the reason the Bills don't make the playoff this year in a pretty talented AFC or East. It's a better AFC East than we're used to traditionally seeing, at least from top to bottom. I think the Chiefs take this one against the Bills and are now 9-2 after this week.
Yeah, I agree. My team will be 8-3, but yeah, I don't see them having any trouble with the Bills.
All right. So we enter Oakland, the black hole. Sunday, December 6th, game against the Raiders. Now, I talked 2 weeks prior against the Chargers as having kind of that game where we show our true colors and what kind of team we're going to be. I think this is a game where the Chiefs falter a little bit. It's going to be that midseason wake-up call. I've got the Chiefs losing here in a dogfight, 18-15.
Yeah, I agree. I don't, you know, it happened to them last year, and I kind of feel like it could happen again. I don't know, from what you said earlier, it doesn't sound like you think the Raiders are going to be that good this year, which they haven't done anything to prove them, that they're going to be that great, but I kind of like Derek Carr, and so
yeah.
I think they're going to start improving. I think they may move out of the cellar of the AFC West this year and maybe compete for that second spot, but that'd be really hard. They're going to be competing against the Broncos.
Right. I don't think it's out of question to think that they might finish, say, 7-9 this season. They added Michael Crabtree in the offseason. They drafted Amari Cooper. That's going to give Derek Carr a lot of weapons. And a lot of people are very quick to give Derek Carr very early credit for kind of the success, very limited level of degree of success that Oakland offense had last year. But he's a fighter, and he's on a team that's really built to kind of play these kind of scrappy football games. That's why I think the Raiders steal one from the Chiefs that week.
Yeah.
So this is week 13, so I now have the Chiefs at 9-3. You have them at 8-4. So we move into another divisional matchup against the Chargers, this time at home against the Chargers. You know, I think the Chargers are going to be the worst team in this division this year, so I don't really want to dwell too much on it. Kansas City is just a better team than San Diego this season, and I think Kansas City sweeps the Chargers for the second season in a row, and they win. I think they might come close to pitching a shutout here and win, let's go 24-3.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Chargers are going to come out with a pretty not solid effort again.
Yeah.
So, I give this to the Chiefs easily.
So, Chiefs have a very tough early season slate. And we also have some tough late season opponents. Our schedule down the home stretch is kind, but, you know, week 15 is going to be the one where we have a tough matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have been one of the best teams since they hired John Harbaugh back in 2008. They've won a Super Bowl. They've got crazy fans. This game is going to be at Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. So we know it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. The last time we played Baltimore was during the 2012 season, which was a very difficult year for a lot of different reasons for the Chiefs. They barely lost to the Ravens that time. They lost 9-6. I think this is going to be a tough matchup just because of the atmosphere there, and I think this is a game the Chiefs lose. So after this game, I've got the Chiefs at 9-4.
Oh, wow. All right, our record's going to equal out now, because I actually am going to have the Chiefs winning this one. It's a primetime game. I think this is a little bit of a statement game. I say similar to the Patriots game last year, not because of the score, but just the way that said, you know, we're here to compete. You know, some people may have doubted us, thought we're not that good, but we have the talent to compete to win. And I think this is one of the things that'll start them on their push for the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, so now Chiefs have two straight, for the first time this season, two straight true home games. They play the Christmas week, December 27th, against the Cleveland Browns. Excited for this because I really want to go to this game. One, because I think this is a great opportunity for the Chiefs to beat up on the Browns. And two, because I love the Arrowhead atmosphere during that Christmas week. Everyone's usually off work the following day. Everyone's looking to have a good time. It's one of the best tailgate days for the Chiefs during that season. We've got a lot of fun memories over the last couple of years going on and around that Christmas game just because the atmosphere is so fun. It'll be Dwayne Bowe's first return to Arrowhead, which will be exciting and kind of bittersweet for some Chiefs fans who were big Dwayne Bowe fans. I wouldn't count myself among that legion, but it'll be cool to see him back in Arrowhead. And if I'm at that game, I'm probably going to be booing Dwayne Bowe. I know it's not the classiest thing to do, but I was not a huge fan of him during his time here with the Chiefs. I think it's an easy win for Kansas City. They stick it to Dwayne Bowe and the Browns and whoever they have starting at quarterback, either with Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel. Neither of those two quarterbacks really scare me. We're going to have one of the best defenses, best pass rushes in football, and they're just going to beat whoever is starting at quarterback for the Browns. They're going to beat them into the dirt that game. So I think this is an easy win for the Chiefs. Chiefs win. I want to go 42-14 with this one, advancing the record to 10-4.
Yeah, I'd agree with something similar to that. I don't see Cleveland giving us any trouble, and I predict Dwayne Bowe will give his usual underwhelming performance at Arrowhead.
Yeah. Excuse me. I have them at 11-4, and you also have them at 11-4.
Yes.
All right, so the season finale would be against the Oakland Raiders on January 3rd. It's going to be a moment. I think the Chiefs come out as a revenge game. They want to stick it to the Raiders after what we picked as the embarrassing loss early in the season. So I think this is an easy win for the Chiefs again. They kind of carry that momentum into the playoffs and really stick it to the Raiders in this game. And I think they win handedly. I don't want to put a score on it, but I think the Chiefs handled them pretty easy in that game.
Yeah, I made the comparison earlier with that Chiefs-Baltimore game being similar to the Monday night game against Patriots, not because of the score, but because of the primetime thing, the statement. I'm going to make this one similar to that Monday night game because of the score.
Okay. So that would leave us with a final regular season record of 12-4, which I think gives us a good enough record to sit atop the AFC West. I think the Broncos will finish right behind it, either a 10-6 or 11-5 record. And I think the Chiefs are going to be one of the top two or three teams coming out of the AFC next year. And I'm expecting a lot of big things. I know we're talking a big game, but I think these losses that we picked are realistic losses, and these wins we picked for the Chiefs are realistic wins. I mean, I have the Chiefs losing to Baltimore, to Green Bay, to Oakland, and then to... can't remember who the fourth one was, but we've got one in there. So we both agree 12-4 is probably best case scenario for this team, because I think we're both on the side of optimists for the Chiefs.
Yes.
But I think now it's safe to say that I'm going to put money, probably $100 down on the Chiefs win, over-under win being 9.5 this season. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I wouldn't call it a sure thing that they're going to go over, but I think it'd be very easy for them to go over.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely way more likely for them to go over that for them to finish under it. They were 9-7 last year, which, you know, would put them under it, but they had no receiving.
Yeah, no receiving core. Really. I think we've got some young receivers who had some time last year, some experience, and I think we'll be a lot better.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a breakout year for Travis Kelce. I think Jeremy Macklin will continue to deliver like he has with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I keep on forgetting that we added him to our roster, and this offense is going to be much, much more explosive. So I think there's a lot for Chiefs fans to look forward to. So, before we close out this week, we are about to sit down to watch True Detective. It comes on in 15 minutes from when we're recording the podcast right now. I don't want to talk about expectations. I just kind of want to talk about, you know, I thought last week was a really strong episode, but I think this is my make or break episode for True Detective. I think this episode 6 with three, you know, after tonight will be two more episodes remaining, will really hammer home whether or not it's been worth it. Because I will echo the sentiment of a lot of people I've heard this year, is that it's almost felt like this season of True Detective has been a little bit of a waste of time. What are your thoughts?
Well, so I won't call it like a make or break episode for me, because I think I'm finally learning with True Detective, you got to base it on the whole season. Because, you know, there were definitely some times last season, which was a very good season, where it just kind of lulls you and you don't feel excited. It was kind of boring to start with, and then it got real exciting last season when with the episode that involved the bikers. And,
right, the raid and everything, that. Yeah.
And then with this season, it was a little frustrating. Last episode had a kind of... They almost reset the season. They skipped 60 days.
Mm. But we saw those time jumps in the first season.
Yeah.
But they jumped forward like 9 years.
But you also saw that coming. You could pick up that there was a time difference between what was going on
right.
Outside of the interview room and what was going on inside the interview room.
Okay. Well, to shift gears a little bit away from True Detective, I think the last thing I want to touch on is that I have started watching the new series on the USA Network called Mr. Robot. For the listeners out there who have been watching it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For listeners who have not, go out and start watching it. It is an excellent series. I would say it's the best show on television right now. It's beautifully done in terms of the cinematography and the camera work that they do. And the story is so, so interesting. And kind of hits home to a lot of modern issues we have today. So if you have some free time this week, I know I will because I'm currently unemployed. Watch Mr. Robot. There's versions of it available online. You know, people of our generation should be tech savvy enough to be able to find those versions. If not, go buy it on iTunes or on Amazon. It's an excellent show, and I think everyone should be watching Mr. Robot, including you. I think you should sit down and watch Mr. Robot one of these days.
Oh,
it's very, very good. It was one of the most captivating hours of television that I watched when I watched the first episode today. So that wraps up this week of the Built on the Border podcast. Excited to have done our 20th episode. That's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing that we've gotten that far and done that many episodes. And we've been doing this for like over 6 months now, which is pretty cool. So, Tommy, I want to thank you for being a part of this with me for so long. I think we'll continue to do this as the year goes on, because I think this is going to be a really special year for Kansas City sports. And we, of course, want to talk about it and share with our listeners.
Yeah, I'm optimistic for KC this year that we could become title town.
Yeah. So, again, we want to thank you for listening to another edition of the Built on the Border podcast. As we exit this week, we will leave you with a song by Dej Loaf. It's a song I've been listening to recently, and I think it's very fitting. The song is called We Winnin'. Very fitting for the Kansas City Royals and the way they're playing baseball right now, and just how everyone's doing in life right now in general. So we hope you guys enjoy. We hope you guys come back next week to catch our 21st edition of the Built on the Border podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a great week out there, guys. Take it easy. Peace. Wasn't in it for this life. I've been grinding, hella flights in the studio, late nights. I had to get it, run it up, Adidas, three stripes. Me and my brothers used to argue, disagree, and we fight. We got over, they understand. I wanna see them do right. On the run, got caught, now them boys doing life. 19 years old, 20 years, three stripes. No warning, good morning, out of mind, out of sight. I wake up, say my prayer, 130 last night. I hate 20s, I hate liars, I hate no pussy, niggas got me tight. And never fuck with you, nigga. It's cool, I'm finna go up on you, nigga. Whoa, spell my name in the game. I know they want me to fail. Tell them I'm in it, tell them I ain't going nowhere. Bro, you wanna light it up, put your lighter. I hope God please forgive me. Every day is like Christmas. Every day is like Christmas. Every night I get busy. Every night I get busy. Yeah. My mom is my weakness. My mom is my witness. Got a lot on my mind. When I want is fuck niggas. I've been going around with my cash up. I didn't got my bag in my sack up. Niggas bug, but we talking all this cash though. Don't make my niggas bring all the mess up. Spend my name in the game. I know they want. Tell them I ain't going nowhere. Bro, you wanna light it up, put your lighters in the air. We winning, keep that hating shit over there. Yeah, yeah, keep that hating shit over there. Yeah, keep that hating shit over there. Yeah, keep that hating.
I said we want it. We gon' bring the cash up. Who gon' get the last shot? I'm finna go up, blast up. Tell them niggas get they cash up. And my name in the game, I know they want me to fail. Tell them I'm in it, tell them I ain't going nowhere. Roll you one, light it up, put your lighters in the air. We winning, keep that hating shit over there, yeah, yeah. Keep that hating shit. I said we want it.